Thank you. You may be seated. There's a story of a young seminary student who had to write a paper on death in one of his seminary classes, and he knew these three elderly men in his church. They'd been friends for decades, and so he thought, well, these men are perhaps close to death. Maybe I'll go and ask them some questions. And he asked them all, several questions, but he asked them all this same question. He said, when you are in your casket, lying there in your casket, and your friends and your family gather around and they're mourning over you, what would you like them to say about you? Well, the first guy immediately responds, and he says, well, I'd like to hear them say that I was one of the greatest doctors of my time and a great family man. The second guy says, well, I'd like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher who made a huge difference in our children of tomorrow. And the third guy, he thinks a minute, and then he replies, you know, I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Well, we'd all like that, wouldn't we? Well, it was June 18th, 1815, at the Battle of Waterloo, and the French, under the command of Napoleon, were fighting the Allied forces of the British, the Dutch, and the Germans under the command of Wellington. The people of England depended on a system of signals to find out how the battle was going. And one of those signals was on the tower of Winchester Cathedral. Late in the day, it flashed the signal, Wellington defeated. And just at that moment, a fog cloud made it impossible to read the message. And the news of defeat quickly spread throughout the city. The whole countryside was sad and gloomy when they heard the news that their country had lost the war. Suddenly, the fog lifted, and the remainder of the message could be read. And the message had four words, not two. And the complete message was, Wellington defeated the enemy. Well, it took only a few moments for the good news to spread. Sorrow was turned into joy. Defeat was turned into victory. So it was, I think, when Jesus Christ was laid in his tomb. Hope had died in the hearts of Jesus' most loyal friends. All of those years they walked with him, they served him, they saw the miracles that he had performed, all the healings, those even that he had raised from the dead. Now he had died, he was laid in the tomb, and it was over. And after the frightful, terrible crucifixion, the fog of disappointment and misunderstanding had crept in on the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they had only read part of the message. Christ defeated was all they knew in those hours after his death. But on the third day, that fog of disappointment and that fog of misunderstanding lifted. And they would receive, and the world would receive, the complete message. Christ defeated death. Ladies and gentlemen, defeat on that day was turned into victory. Death was turned into life. I want to speak to you for a few moments on the subject, the question, what if Jesus didn't rise again? Jeff Anderson spoke to us early this morning, our sunrise service, and though this wasn't his whole message, part of it was, so I hope maybe I can do almost as good as him and what he did, but we're going to try to answer that question that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We read it just for a moment ago. But what if Jesus had not risen again? What if the resurrection had never happened? Well, first of all, it tells us in verses 12 and 13 that if Jesus had never risen from the dead, he would be a liar. He told the disciples over and over and over again, as he predicted his resurrection, one day he was going to die, he would be buried, but in 3 days he'd rise again. He told the Pharisees, "You destroy this temple," speaking of his body, "and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Over and over, he had predicted that he would die, he'd be buried, and he would rise again. In John 10, he said, "Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus Christ, you see, was not a martyr. They didn't take his life from him. He gave it freely, willingly, to pay for our sins, rose again to give us victory. So you see, if he hadn't risen again, he would be a liar. If he lied about that, what else would he have lied about? How could we trust anything he said if he lied about the resurrection? Secondly, if Jesus Christ had never risen from the dead, there would be no gospel. There would be no gospel. If Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, so is your faith, Paul said. When I talk about the gospel, we read it in 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is defined in the scriptures as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The exact definition of the word gospel is good news. So to know that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again, that is great news. That's the greatest news any of us could ever heard. But the gospel means good news, and if the resurrection was taken out of that gospel message, all we would see and all we would hear was that he died and he was buried. You see, if the resurrection is taken from the gospel, we're left with sad news, not good news. Half a gospel, you see, is no gospel at all. So if he hadn't risen again, there'd be no gospel, there'd be no good news. He'd be a liar. Thirdly, we'd see that our faith is vain. Our faith is empty. Our faith is useless. Faithful in a dead Savior. If Jesus had gone into that tomb where they buried him and never came out of it, he'd be a dead Savior. And faith in a dead Savior is preposterous and pathetic. Why trust in someone who could not overcome what we, every one of us, face at the end of life? If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, then he's still dead. He's not alive. We could not call him a living Savior. We could not sing the songs that we sang just a few moments ago. And if that's the case, he then has no power to save us. You're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If he had never risen from the dead, you'd be hopeless. You'd face death, the end of life, hopelessly. So our faith, every one of us, our faith would be vain. It would be useless. It would be empty if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. And fourthly, scriptures tell us, verse 15, "More than that, we're then found to be false witnesses about God, for we've testified that God raised him from the dead." So if he had not been raised from the dead, we would all be false witnesses. This message that we would talk about, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we'd all be liars. We'd be proclaiming something that was not true. We'd be gathering, having services like this, and that'd all be a sham, it would all be a lie, if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. Our whole faith would be on false pretenses. You see, as was said in our early service this morning, the resurrection is the foundation of our faith. It tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the resurrection is so important that God says that The resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead, that proved to the whole world that Jesus Christ is God. So it is such an important doctrine, such an important concept as we sit here today. It's not just a story. It's at the foundation of everything you and I believe about God, about life, about eternity. Fifthly, if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, we would have no hope for the future. It says then in verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died with their faith in Jesus Christ, he says they would be lost. See, Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. If he is not risen, then this guarantee is worthless. Jesus said that not only would he rise again, but one day he would come and get us, and our bodies would be changed from this earthly body into a heavenly body, and we would rise. So his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. They won't just put us in the grave and that's where we stay. Our bodies will be changed and we'll go to meet him in a heavenly body. It's the hope of our future resurrection. For those of us who know Christ as Savior, it's the hope of our future resurrection that encourages the bereaved of loved ones who die. Been doing this for many, many years. I've held and conducted so many funerals. I can't tell you how many. But it's great for me to be able to comfort the bereaved knowing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4. But I wouldn't have you be ignorant, brothers, concerning them which are asleep or who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Paul says, we don't need to sorrow like those who are hopeless. We have a hope. We have the knowledge, the realization that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So we don't have to look at death in a hopeless manner. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which have died in Jesus, with their faith in Jesus, will God bring with him when he returns. And he goes on to say, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's comfort to know that our loved ones who trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and they're gone from this world into the next, we will see them again. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you see, if Christ is not risen, there is no comfort. If Christ is not risen, there is no peace. If Christ is not risen, we are comfortless. And lastly, if Christ is not risen, we suffer for nothing. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, we are the most pitiful, the most miserable people on the face of the earth because we believe in something that is not true. And so doubly we have not only that disappointment, we have the misery of a hopeless end and a hopeless future. Listen to what the great pastor and commentator Alan Redpath said. He said, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is empty, our preaching useless, and he has failed to deal with sin at all. If he has not been raised from the tomb, we are still in our sins, and all his promises are absolutely untrue. He is a fraud, an imposter, and his ashes are buried somewhere in Palestine today. There is no hope beyond the grave for anybody, and those who have died professing faith in him are just left there forever. If Christ is not risen, if what we're talking about today, if why we're gathered here today is not reality, if it's all a myth, if it's all a lie, if it's all a fraud, then why bother? Why go through the motions? Going to church would be useless. If Jesus Christ had not risen, we'd be better off somewhere else. Let's just board the doors up, lock the doors, walk off, and eat, drink, and be merry, because There's no purpose in going to church if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. Why bother putting money in the offering plate? You're only giving to a lost cause if Jesus had not risen. If Jesus had not risen, why bother to serve him? You're only wasting your time. And if he hadn't risen, why tell others about him? You might as well save your breath and talk about something else. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our hope. It's the focal point of our lives. It's the most important event of history. On February 27th, 1991, at the height of Desert Storm, many of us will remember, that Ruth Dillow received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son, Clayton Carpenter, private first class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. Ruth Dillow later wrote these words. She said, "I can't begin to describe my grief and my shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to console me and to comfort me, to no avail because the loss was too great." But 3 days after she received that message, the telephone rang. 3 days later, the voice on the other end said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." Ruth Dillow said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but then I recognized his voice. And he really was a lie. The previous message was all a mistake." And she said, "I laughed. I cried. I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was really alive." I'm sure none of you can even begin to understand how I felt. And I think about this, and perhaps not, maybe we could not relate to how she felt, but some who walked the pages of the New Testament would have understood exactly how she felt because they experienced the same emotions themselves. One day they watched their best friend, their mentor, their teacher, being nailed to a cross. They witnessed his pain as he cried out, "I thirst, and my God, why have you forsaken me?" They listened as finally he bowed his head and he said, "It's finished. And Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." They watched as his body was taken from the cross and up a winding trail to the tomb where he was buried. Last year I went to Israel and I walked that little trail from the cross up to where he walked into the tomb where he had been. But those disciples of that day didn't know all of that, and all their hopes and all their dreams were buried with him. Friday and all day Saturday they mourned until finally on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the scripture says, some women made their way along the path that led to his tomb, wondering who would roll away the stone for them. But when they arrived, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. And an angel told them, "You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for the living among the dead. You're looking for Jesus among the dead. He is not here. He is not dead. He's alive. He's risen, even as he said." He is risen. He is risen. That's what we celebrate this morning. Don't let the circumstances of life steal the reality of that truth from you. Make the reality of that truth an application to your own life. When all the evidence is in, we're convinced today that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen from the dead, and what a difference his resurrection has made in the whole world. So as we think about if he had died, we know that he has risen. So Christ, it was not a liar, but he was telling the truth when he predicted he would rise from the dead. He is the Son of God. And the gospel really is good news. Because it really is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Our faith is not useless, but it's grounded in a living Savior who can save every person from sin, death, and hell. And when you and I share the good news of Jesus Christ, we're spreading the truth, not a lie. And we have the sure expectation of a bodily resurrection. Our bodies will not stay in the grave. We will rise again as Jesus did for everyone who has trusted him as Savior. We have that eternal hope. And we are not of all men most pitiful, all men most miserable. We have every reason to be the most joyful people on earth. There's no reason to be sad. There's no reason to let our circumstances overwhelm us. Here's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15, he said, but thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my beloved brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Bow your heads with me. We close out this morning. I want to remind you, because Jesus died, all sins are paid for. Because he rose from the dead, eternal life is available to every one of us. And Paul told us that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. It's not good works. It's not membership in a church or any good organization. We get to heaven. We get to see God, spend eternity with God through a personal faith in Jesus Christ. This morning, you can trust him as your Savior, just as I did almost 60 years ago now as just a young boy. Give him your life this morning, knowing that he died, was buried, and rose for you, for your salvation. I trust that you will do that today. I ask you to do that today. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for Jesus and the resurrection. Speak to hearts here this morning. Touch us all with that great message in Jesus' name.